I'm Mark Weisbrot from the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and we're sponsoring this event. And I'm going to introduce Pablo Solon, who is the Special Ambassador for Trade and Integration from Bolivia. I'll say just a few remarks for background on these issues. The rules of the game and the relationships between governments and corporations, international corporations, have been changing a lot in the last few years. But it's a broader change that has taken place.
Hello, this is Dan Sheen with the Associated Press.
Decade or so.
Sorry to be late.
And it's really very recent, actually, that investors acquire the right to directly sue governments. The bilateral investment treaty. NAFTA. And it's part of an attempt that in the 90s and then really accelerated rapidly in about the last 5 years is when most of these cases have been filed. That is, investors government and being able to submit their claim to an international arbitration panel. And so that's one thing. So that's the background. In other words, there was an attempt. There was an attempt in the late 90s, for example, to establish in the OECD. That failed, and so the high-income countries came back and got these things in other venues. Now, the thing that's one trend. The other trend is that in just the last few years, you've had a change in the other direction. And the big change in the other direction has been that governments have declared more autonomy and shifted the relationship in the other direction. Now, I remember, I'm just trying to explain, you know, as background to this event, why this is important, because I remember in 2002 when Lula da Silva was running for office in Brazil in May, when he first pulled ahead in the polls, there was a major financial crisis in Brazil, and everyone thought that if he were to win, some kind of disaster would happen in the financial markets and to foreign investors in general. And, of course, he did win, and no such disaster happened. And, in fact, it's almost in the other direction. The Brazilian currency continues to appreciate to the point where it's actually hurting their economy, such an inflow of capital. And, you know, you can go through the whole region. When Argentina defaulted on its debt at the end of 2001, it was widely believed that they would face an international disapproval that would really ruin their economy for years. And instead, they became the fastest-growing economy in the Western Hemisphere, averaging over 8.6% annually for the last 5 years. And you can go through the left governments, and Bolivia, of course, is an example. Last year, they ran a record budget, federal government budget surplus of 5.9% of GDP. Even in Venezuela, where the royalties were increased in the Orinoco Basin from 1% to 30% in just the last couple of years, you see all the major oil companies are still there, and all the investors who stayed in these countries, in Brazil, in Argentina, in Venezuela, have actually been doing quite well. So you had, again, a shift in the relationship between governments and corporations, but it did not lead to the simple story that was really emphasized here in Washington, that it would all be bad for foreign investors and for foreign investment and for the host countries. And this should not be surprising. After all, the largest recipient of foreign direct investment of all developing countries for over a decade now has been China, in many years receiving more foreign direct investment than all other developing countries combined. And they have never accepted until the last couple of years, they're beginning to accept, but still the majority of their arbitration that takes place in a panel that is local and not the ICSID. Now, I say this with by way of background because the Bolivian government recently decided to withdraw from the investor dispute arm of the World Bank, which is the ICSID, and that's why that's one of the things that Pablo is here to talk about. And I just wanted to emphasize, you know, before he starts and gives some details, that this is, as an arm of the World Bank, it's not an arbitration panel that one would expect to be neutral, simply because of its being part of the World Bank group. That is, the World Bank group has vigorously promoted privatizations in Latin America and Eastern and Central Europe, Social Security, for example, in many parts of the world, utilities, including water. And obviously, Bolivia had a lot of problems with those privatizations. And so they have taken a strong stance in favor of the corporations in a whole variety of policy changes that have taken place. And they have two avenues of power. One is their own lending, and the other is that they have what is called cross-conditionality, where their lending is made contingent on fulfilling IMF conditions. So as a result of this power, they've had enormous influence, and they have used it on behalf of corporations for quite a while. Now, again, they would argue that this is all best for the governments, and that it's best for the government to cede as much power as possible to the foreign corporations as a means of attracting a foreign investment. And that is, of course, the other side of the story that we hear quite often. But I think it's also been true empirically in the last several years that as these changes have taken place, where governments have taken control more of their own resources, something that was inevitable as the price of oil and other minerals have risen, and these renegotiations, I mean, after all, our government's going to stick to the same contracts that they had, you know, when oil was $15 a barrel. That's not going to happen. So the fact that they were able to renegotiate and claim a greater share, combined with other major changes that have taken place in the world economy, most importantly, the collapse of the IMF's power in middle-income countries, and the availability of other sources of financing in Latin America. Much of that has come from the Venezuelan government. In Africa, it's come mainly from China. But the world has changed, and you would expect the rules of the game to change in a more competitive international environment where states are increasingly asserting their authority. So it's with that background, I think it's important to look at the details, because if we had looked only at the kind of overview that we most see in Washington, we would think that all of these changes would be basically bad for the host countries and bad for the international economy overall. And I think that is not certainly not turning out to be the case. So I'm going to turn it over to Pablo now and give you some of the details of what these changes have meant for Bolivia.